Tracing your family history is a popular hobby. As people research their ancestors, they may find criminals, convicts, maybe past wealth and riches, or even a link to royalty. Individuals can also find the roots of a distinctive family trait, such as musical talent, that then features across several generations. Our family history influences our character and life trajectory. It's a fundamental part of our identity. And people in Jesus' day understood this. And as he emerged into public life, they wanted to know about his identity, his past, his family. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through to 38, help us grasp who Jesus is and where he comes from. We'll look at Jesus' family tree in just a moment, but Luke leads into that ancestry trail with just two short verses on Jesus' baptism. At his baptism, Jesus receives the strongest possible endorsement from God. Now, unlike politicians who spruik celebrity endorsements, or maybe the endorsement of a former president or another politician, Jesus isn't seeking popular support. He's not seeking political office. Jesus is secure in his identity because he's part of God's family. And we hear that God's voice declares in verse 22, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So the first thing we notice in the voice from heaven is that Jesus is God's son. This is an allusion to verse 7 of Psalm 2, a royal psalm. So if we begin in verse 6 of that psalm, it speaks of God's king being installed in Zion, the city in Jerusalem. And in verse 8, God giving the nations as an inheritance to this special son. Jesus is the promised king whose kingdom is God-given. And next, Jesus is the one whom God loves. Some Bible translations put it as my beloved son, and God is well pleased with him. These words echo a prophecy in Isaiah 42. Verse 1 in Isaiah 42 says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." The main idea is that Jesus is both royalty and a servant. He has the highest possible honor, and that's what we've heard from John the Baptist in the previous verses. And he is also dearly loved by God and sent to serve. Now, what happens just before this divine endorsement is also important. Verse 21 and the first part of 22 read, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove." Jesus was baptized too. He does this to identify with all humanity who need cleansing from sin. Jesus himself didn't need baptism for any personal sin, but his baptism shows that he is one, he is here for everyone. John baptizes in water to picture cleansing, but Jesus does more than illustrate or symbolize what's going on. Jesus is the giver of the Spirit who actually washes away sin. Through Jesus, we're not doing symbols or rituals. No, God's own presence, God's Holy Spirit, will come and dwell within us, guiding and enabling us to follow God's will. The other phrase in verse 21 that is significant is this: as he was praying, that's when the Spirit descended. So who is Jesus? He's a man of prayer. He is one who opens heaven for us and to us. He's the one anointed by God's Spirit. At the start of Luke's second book, the Acts of the Apostles, the followers of Jesus gathered together in prayer. Heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on them, filling them with power to witness to Jesus. That's Pentecost. And it tells us that what Jesus began, we should go on doing. We are to be people of prayer. We are to be people in whom God's Spirit gives cleansing and guidance and power to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus. So this one brief event at the Jordan River is a heavenly endorsement of Jesus, the promised royal son. He's the beloved, chosen one who pleases God because he serves him and does his will. He's the one for whom John the Baptist prepared the way. And then the genealogy follows and backs all of this up. The genealogy of Jesus found in Luke chapter 3, it's there to explain who Jesus is and what he's here to achieve. Last year I travelled to New Zealand for a conference, and I experienced there the Maori tradition of welcoming, a pohiri. Each speaker introduces themselves by sharing their ancestral lineage. So I'd be Mark, son of Edmund, son of Reinhold, son of Herman. This is exactly the pattern that Luke adopts in his genealogy of Jesus. It connects Jesus with his roots. It establishes him as a member of a community that has been guided and upheld and shaped by God for his special purposes throughout the centuries. Now, in amongst the names of ancestors, there are some standouts. In verse 31, we get to David, son of Jesse. And in verse 33, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What this says to a people like the Jews who were tuned into family history, it says that Jesus is royalty. He traces his roots to King David. And more than that, he is a son of Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, the one to whom the promise was given that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. So Jesus is royal, and Jesus is an heir to God's great promise of blessing. But more than that, and unlike Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, which stops at Abraham, Luke's list of ancestors keeps going all the way back to Adam in verse 37, the first human who is designated the Son of God. Jesus came not just for the nation of Israel, but for all humanity. And so the list of his ancestors, if we look at them, it contains all sorts. There are kings, yes, but there are farmers, there are military leaders, there are builders, sailors like Noah, prophets, all sorts of people, but they were united in one respect. They were all sinners. They were all sons of Adam who had not pleased God, who had not followed God's will and served his purposes as intended. Now, in his baptism, Jesus identified with every person in need of God's cleansing. And he opened a new way to be restored to God. What does all this mean for us? Well, firstly, Jesus is the focal point of history. Now, is he the focal point of your history, of your life? Because it's only Jesus who opens heaven for us. It's only Jesus who cleanses us from our sin. It's only Jesus who enables us to receive God's Spirit. Only Jesus who shows us how to live a God-pleasing life. If Jesus is not the center of your life story, then let me challenge you today. Turn to him and find full life in him. the life that God created you to live. When we join ourselves to God's family by trusting in Jesus and being baptized in his name, we also become dearly beloved children of God. So rather than getting our identity from our job or our inherited traits or our academic results or anything else, in Jesus, our identity is secured. In the letter Paul wrote to the Galatians, he explained in chapter 3, verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We become God's children, heirs of God's promise, God's ambassadors, co-workers with Christ in his mission to see the whole world blessed and restored to God's good plan. Now, there's no higher calling or honor than to be part of God's family through Jesus Christ. Another aspect of our identity is that we're called to follow Jesus as people of prayer and the Spirit. Just as the Spirit came on Jesus when he was in prayer, that was the pattern of the early church at Pentecost and subsequent to that. And that should be our pattern still today. Sometimes we might feel like our life is not shaping up as we'd want. Sometimes we might feel that we're trapped by mistakes or hurts from the past. Sometimes we might feel unable to please God as we are. But what God calls us to is to draw near to him in continual prayer, to hear his voice as we soak in the scriptures, and to receive his Spirit so that we can do what he calls us to and we can be who he calls us to be. During this time of staying at home, we have new opportunities to pray and to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Are we taking them? A final application for many of us is in the area of family. Think about your own family history. For many of us, our family histories contain both pain and progress, hardship and happiness, rebellion and redemption. God knows our family tree. God knows our family relationships. He knows the inherited traits we struggle with, as well as the inherited traits that allow us to flourish. And God is in them all. Just as God was at work through the line of sinners that led to Jesus, so he is at work through our parents, our grandparents, through our siblings, through our ancestors. God is a redeemer. He takes people who feel trapped, people who've been sold out, people who feel like they don't know where life is taking them, and he gives them new freedom, new value. And that's who we are as a church. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're cleansed from the past. We're loved by God. We're given a new identity, an identity in Christ, empowered by God's Spirit to go and bless the world. So this part of Luke makes it clear who Jesus is. He's the promised King. He's the Spirit bringer. He's the Saviour for all humanity. And so the challenge for us is to join our identity, our prayer life, our family life, to join our whole life story to him so that God can work in us and through us for his praise and glory. Amen.